offense. I'm so sorry, Catherine. Catherine, we met at the retreat, and then I saw you, and I'm like,
Oh, Catherine, you in the Fremont room?
I think I gotta go back and help with the virtual COVID situation, but microphone's going. John, please don't touch anything. With the most respect.
This room seems like a little bit of interrogation.
It does.
It doesn't have the best feel, but.
It was always like we were trying to get that in like less than 2 minutes, and every time it was less than 2 minutes, I'd be like, yeah.
That's awesome.
Is this all of us?
That's my sense memory at this
point. Well, Bill just left, I think he's coming back.
Oh, okay.
Since there's three rooms.
No, it's great work to come up with anything that you can get anyone to agree on in development. It is amazing. So I knew that had to be a ton of hard work.
Yeah, and I think there's more still to come. I think getting into the nuances of the different pieces will be a lot more. Yeah, we're really excited about it. So let's see. We're doing the height one. So do you guys want to stand up and come over here, or do you want to stay?
We're only just doing height here?
We're just doing height in here for 15 minutes, and then you guys are going to stay in this room this time,
Let's come mob the pictures because they're pretty. I'd like to see the renderings of the project.
So first of all, did you guys have any questions about the height proposal? So here it is. And I think I'm going to take notes. So let's see, we've got. I feel like I'm missing four, but I guess I can just explain.
These are sticky, aren't they? Can we stick them on the wall? The post-its, do you want to?
They're not.
They're not the sticky guys. There's another easel.
No, this is fine. So I'll this part right here. So the height proposal is pretty simple. We haven't made a major height proposal, and mostly that's because we haven't really heard from the working group that. So in town center, do you want to join us?
No, go ahead.
Okay.
I'm sure everything's working.
Oh, okay, great. So we've actually not gotten a lot of feedback from our working group members that there's a need for additional height in town centers. Just sometimes we hear a small amount of need, like for instance, Sugar Pine Village wanted to do modular housing, and they needed like a couple extra feet from what we allowed. So we had to do a code amendment to get that. But actually, I think that was based on the city's requirements in the area plan. So for the most part, we haven't been hearing that we need a ton more height in town center. So basically what we're proposing is, number two is pretty kind of minor. We allow up to 56 feet and four stories, so it's limited to four stories. We've had just this request from Placer County, can you please just make it 56 feet so that they can have as many stories as they want. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty straightforward. But then the local jurisdictions have asked us if they could use California's density bonus law, which does have some height incentives. For instance, it allows three additional stories, but only if you're in the vicinity of a major transit stop, which Tahoe doesn't really have. But potentially in the future we might. And there's some other small additional like variances for height that you can get. And then outside of town centers, it's really just getting rid of those roof pitch requirements for deed-restricted housing only. And this would be for market, for any kind of housing, it wouldn't have to be deed-restricted. And the California density bonus law applies to kind of mixes of market rate housing and deed-restricted housing. So does anybody have questions about the proposal? Okay, do you guys? So any questions?
Not about the proposal.
Okay.
I'm sort of about some of the background details. But
okay, do you want
to ask that now?
Where
does the roof pitch allowances, where do they come from? Was it a visual thing that it was more visual, scenic
visually appealing
to have? It's not as much about like snow or anything like that, like engineering load.
To make it more traditional, cabin-y,
okay.
I think, isn't it?
Yeah, I think there was an
Instead
idea.
Of
60s, maybe Bill
modern.
Has
well,
some background too.
Not really, but I mean, we've had to change for a lot of projects, especially public projects, just the roof pitch mm-hmm. concept, because the pitch would then eliminate some of the lower stuff that you
sure.
can do. So I think that we can engineer roofs now to address that issue. But I do think it did follow along. Well, gee, this is kind of the way, if you consider the way this all developed from community plans.
Mm-hmm.
So folks in Tahoe Vista would say, well, this is kind of the way we kind of look. So that's
mm-hmm.
the way. So
Got it.
The city's quite different, but still, even in the certain areas of the city, you know, there was this alpine look, so therefore let's maintain the alpine look.
And then the only other one is, I assume the answer is yes, but that the story's number of feet thing, that's primarily based on, the visual impact of the overall height of the building, not necessarily how many, like, usable, livable stories. Because I'm more thinking about, like, are there places where we put parking, like, you know, on the first floor, and then you have not even necessarily, like, enclosed parking, but just covered parking, and then, like, three stories of houses. Or would you be, units, or would you be able to do four plus the parking?
Right now,
no.
The parking would count as one.
But if we moved it to 56,
right?
Maybe you would. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that there was really, I think they just kind of said, here's how much four stories takes, it's 56 feet, and the language happened to say and instead
yeah.
of or. I don't know that a lot of thought went into it. I could be wrong, but
and
I don't know.
You could do a
five-story
building in 56.
Yeah.
56 feet,
yeah. 8.5, 9 foot floor.
Yeah.
But it's not,
yeah.
It's
yeah.
nice. But
well, and especially if you did the parking underneath, because I was thinking about it because of in the presentation, I can't remember which organization it was, but when they were talking about the courtyard development style,
mm-hmm.
that's the kind of place I lived in like Davis when I was in law
yeah.
school, and it was, and you would like drive in and sort of down, and then the parking was underneath, so it didn't actually
yeah.
take up any more physical space
right.
for everybody to have, a spot to put their car.
Yeah, and you can do that here if you can dig down.
If you can,
sometimes there's groundwater issues.
Yeah,
or whatever.
And it,
yeah.
but it's super expensive. It's
yeah.
about
sure.
$60,000-$70,000 a spot,
mm-hmm.
which
yeah.
is a huge amount of money, especially if we're talking about more affordable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're probably not going to get. I mean, we don't even build that in our for sale projects now because you just can't with market conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's the only thing you can do it here. I mean, I just look at the cost as taking it for the event center.
Yeah.
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 Just to, because everything that drained, you know, they had to have their own vaults now to deal
yeah.
with the,
mm-hmm.
the
yeah.
stuff. So that's an issue.
So
parking
do you
is it parking is issue because we don't have a good transit system where
yeah.
we can make the trade off
yeah.
of,
right.
okay, we'll reduce as a parking, and you're going to take advantage of your location to the transit center.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way you're going to get around.
Mm-hmm.
That could come in the future.
Yeah.
But
so do you guys want to answer these questions? So the first question is, what part of the proposals, and you're welcome to just answer, you know, whatever is most interesting to you. What part of the proposals do you want us to continue to develop? Yes?
Oh, well, go ahead.
So, and well, let's just start with that one. I'll let you guys look at these if you want to just throw in what else. You
so
know,
your height requirements, I think you mentioned, are from the low end of the lot. Is that right?
Yes.
So that, I mean, because most of our lots are very sloped, that's a huge limiter because otherwise you have to dig into the lot
mm-hmm.
so far and you have no windows on that side. So I would say, well, one, I would say we should greatly expand the height allowance. And there are a couple reasons, even, I mean, mostly for in-town centers, but even for outside, a pitched roof is actually a lot cheaper to build for a builder, and if we're talking about affordable housing, because a flat roof, it structurally needs a lot more
yes.
structure.
Mm-hmm.
And then the waterproofing is super complicated because it's got to slope to the right place, and it's got to lap really well, and they always leak compared to a compared to a pitched roof, and that's a ton of liability. So I would say, you know, allow people to go higher and then they can do a pitched roof, and that'll give you an overall cheaper building to build, potentially. I mean, and I'm mostly focused on in-town centers because I would just love to force all of our development into town centers and not have not have it outside of town centers. But I would allow the heights to go a lot higher.
And a question on that, you guys probably said this, so my apologies. Is it casino based? Is it the top of the height? Like, why 4 stories or 56 feet? Why that number?
Well, I don't think it's casino based. I think the casino core is one that people would say, "Oh, we're done with that."
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I think of the Domus project and King's Beach. I don't know if you're familiar with it as you leave that. And that could
is
that Domus?
That is it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, that to me, especially when Vince is talking about having the pitched roof and stuff like that, so maybe that's why they have some of the peaks there in the middle of that, so they can design a roof that's cheaper. But that is a project that could have gone higher, as far as I'm concerned, because it was pushed up against.
Yeah.
I mean, where you should have limitations is lakeward of the main road.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You don't want to block people's view and
right.
the access to
right.
Lake Tahoe.
But if you're, like, slipping,
but if
you
you're up against
low.
It,
yeah.
and
right.
also what you said about, you know, if we have to go from the low end and that's where you're going to measure your height from, well, no, step it up.
Yeah.
yeah.
So mm-hmm. you go up with the height of what's your background.
Yeah.
So it shouldn't be some arbitrary, that's what we're trying to get away from. Us on a piece of paper saying what the height limitation should be.
Yeah.
We should allow that the landscapes can help us make those kind of decisions.
Because yeah. every lot here is very different.
Yeah, and you're going to have, we're gonna have tree issues and stuff like that. But, you know, I just think, first of all, we have to figure there's a reason why we selected the town centers. Why we're headed to certain ways, because we're walkable, bikeable. You know, this is where your market's going to be. This is where your school's going to possibly be. This is the place.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, then we'll have better transit systems, better centers. So those are the areas that I think we have to give
yeah.
on some of the truly environmental issues that are legitimate. But, you know, we're dealing with, as Karen said right from the start, we have a real dire problem
That's right.
yeah. with housing.
That's right.
And
yeah.
so I think we just have to try to come up within the language of a plan when we talk about the town centers to provide as much flexibility between you know, what we think are the limitations and what the people that are going to design these things can actually produce.
I think that's right on. And I think to your point, too, we did go higher in town centers. This mm-hmm. seems like project-based. I don't know that we need to say 8, 12
mm-hmm.
stories on a slope. You know,
yeah.
you need to look at what you're around. You need to look at all of those things.
Yeah.
I don't know that, and I'm just throwing this out there. I don't know that any number is, like,
the right number.
Yeah.
Knowing the exact site. And that might give developers, who still know this way better than me, might give them a little pause, knowing that there's no, they can't be
yeah.
like, met it, we're good kind of a deal, but I don't know if that gives them the possibility
well,
they want.
Well, that is the problem, is
yeah.
that as a developer you need certainty
sure.
because you're buying a piece of land predicated on what you think you can build, and if it's a lot less, then you could be losing a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So to give people confidence, you need to make these things pretty easily understood.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why this height stuff is really hard. We just had to redesign a project that we had just designed because the city interpreted the height codes differently than we thought they were being. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, they just drew a line through and it's like, well, we got to cut out that floor in
mm-hmm.
front and, like,
yeah.
you know, what
yeah.
are we going to do with that? You know, we need a primary bedroom and there's the views. It just got lopped off. So making it easy to understand. You know, I mean, even just changing it from low point to the high point, or to the average of the low and high point, or something. You know, there's just, I would try to make it pretty simple, so that it's easily understood, and then I would allow for more height. The thing is, the construction types are gonna dictate what you can afford to do. So if you're building anything under four stories or under, it's wood frame. Once you go above that, you need like a floor of concrete, then you build a four-story wood frame on top. You can some places go two floors of concrete and then that. Then after that, it's like all concrete or all steel. And most projects will never get above that hurdle here because it's just way too expensive to do a building of that type. So, you know, no one's going to build a high rise, I think, in Tahoe for affordable housing or market or this right. type of housing. It just will never, ever pencil out.
So it's a little self-limiting, then.
It's self-limiting, so I don't think we have to be afraid of it, but I think if we give people a lot of leeway, you know, we could say you can go up to 100 feet. They're mostly going to be 50, 60, maybe 75 foot tall buildings because those are more what you can do.
So is that a number you want to propose that we look at, 100 feet, or
well,
do you
know
think we should set a number? Or kind of
right.
It sounded like we were saying maybe don't set a number, but then you're saying we do need certainty, so we probably should set a number.
I mean, I kind of think you do.
Yeah.
You know, when in talking with John, he didn't want to set anything really except kind of like tree canopy. I feel like tree canopy would be something hard to measure. You've got like 200 trees on your property. You know, how are you going to do that? So maybe we just say 100 feet or less. I mean, no one will ever build a 100-foot building. Like the level below a high rise is your highest floor at 75 feet, which can be serviced by hook and ladder. Anything taller than that, then you're high rise and you have to have all this life safety stuff, redundant structural systems. It's super expensive. And to get just a couple more stories, you'll never do that. So if
so
we set 100
feet.
So
what's the story we're talking about? Six story?
It'd be like seven stories. You know,
okay.
Maybe a 90-foot tall.
So in the concept of here saying stories versus number of feet, should we say?
I think you could say, you know, under 100 feet, no one will probably ever go higher than 85, 90 feet because...
I'm just trying to think, Vince, the freakouts factor.
My
environmental side. If I say 100
yeah, right.
feet, are they going to go 10 stories? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's
if
why
I say 70 stories, whatever.
Yeah.
90
yeah.
feet. 90
yeah.
feet.
Nine
that,
stories, 90 feet.
Yeah. 90 feet. And yeah. 90 feet wouldn't be nine stories.
Eight
stories.
Yeah.
It'd probably be a maximum of seven because your highest floor can't be more than 75 feet without triggering a high-rise designation. So,
okay.
So, but that gives you the ability to make the top floor and add some...
But these are the kind of things
that
we need to build into the analysis, why we're coming up with this, because of the reality of the type of market we are, the construction costs, what you can't bring into Tahoe and make a pencil out.
Mm-hmm.
You don't build, you know, event centers based on what you're trying to do in affordable housing.
Yeah.
You know, so... I mean, all the concrete, all the steel that went into that must have been super
expensive. Super
expensive. So, okay, well, those are things that I think we have to make a more adaptable code provision kind of reflects the area. And I like the idea of earth storage. I'm just trying to also just deal with the knockout factor from...
Yeah.
Others. I mean, we just need to talk to the league and other people to come in on this whole thing. But there are just people that'll just freak out.
Yeah.
I mean, when we did the regional plan, they thought we were going to put condominiums all around the lake, and they sued us. And
I think we have to remind people, we've got 2,500 units left to build. That's like, you know, 20 buildings
in
the whole lake.
We don't get to that height. That's another issue.
No, I know, but I mean, just the amount of development we're going to have.
We have 4,500 we should be building. Right?
Well, we need to build.
Yeah, we need
but
to.
Right now, we only have that capacity.
So if we have really have a cap of 2,500 or 2,000, sure.
Yeah.
Starting now with our inventory.
Well, we are actually estimating that we have about 4,000 left with bonus units, allocations, and transfers. There's some pools that are sitting
out
there.
And also redevelopment of dilapidated TAUs.
Yeah.
But it is.
But even so, you could also argue later on is, do you really put your workforce housing deed restricted units into the cap? They should be treated differently.
Yeah.
Because that's not our problem.
Yeah.
Our problem is the residential big homes,
yeah,
vacation home stuff. That's
mm-hmm.
really what we're trying to deal with when we start talking about a cap. And so, but we, in order to have, rather than people living in Minden, Greenville, or even
yeah.
Nevada City,
mm-hmm.
Coming to work in Tahoe,
mm-hmm.
You've got to address this issue.
Mm-hmm.
And if
well,
you want to make a community, you got to have people that buy into things like the school district and all
yeah,
the other
right.
stuff. You got to
yeah.
have families.
Yeah,
well,
so.
And
TA people.
So. I like to your point about the you know how to present any of these kinds of proposals to the environmental groups and how to talk about it. I do really like your idea of maybe making the limitations different on the Lakeward side of the road, or
yes.
even on the Lakeward
yeah.
side of like, you know, town centers, if you wanted to say, because like there's a lot of area between the highway and the shoreline and incline, but if you just are going by the road, that would just be like Lakeshore, that's what it's called, right?
Yeah.
But you could say like nowhere in that corridor between the highway and the shoreline should you build anything, because again, from like a scenic standpoint, that does make a bigger impact
should,
than
we
like
should, we should look at
here.
Yeah.
Where do our
right.
where do our town
right.
where do our town centers right now? I don't know that we have. Most of them are on the other side of it. I mean, they're coming
yeah.
up the, I think, of the ones around the city right now.
Or in incline there.
We don't have any on the.
No, that's
on
true.
On
I was
Lakeland
just
side.
Thinking
we
in,
have
in
Lakeland
general.
Side.
Yeah.
Tahoe
Kings
City.
Kings Beach.
Tahoe City has some.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure. The height limitation.
Uh-oh.
Okay, now we need to switch.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
You guys were great. Thank you.
Sure.
So we'll summarize these in the group, but feel free to elaborate. You know, if
okay.
I
okay.
Yeah, we didn't really talk as much about out of town centers,
yeah.
but raising it some. There's also natural cutoffs. Like if you're over eight units or over, you have to put in an elevator,
yeah.
which is super expensive. So everyone's going to build 7-unit buildings max, like no matter what you know, unless they can build 30, you know, or 20. You just have to make a big jump before
yeah.
it makes sense to pay for an elevator and all the extra stuff. So, you know, these small lots.
Yeah,
I know.
It's very nice.
Well,
yeah.
So I mean, as a developer, you have to build the most you can that's reasonable, or else
yeah.
someone else
yeah.
will outbid
yeah.
you. So that's why if you don't want lots to our homes,
oh, we're leaving this here.
We have
leave
to limit
here. Okay,
the size, which would help incentivize this multifamily
mm-hmm.
if we give people the room. Because otherwise, it's probably more profitable to build a huge monster home.
Totally.
Yeah.
But also, if we reduce density, I mean, if we allow more density, like smaller units are more profitable because the price per square foot is more. So, you know, if you're buying a 500 square foot place, you're paying a lot more per square foot than if you buy a 2,000 square foot house.
Okay,
so
listen.
Put four of those in, and a developer makes more money. So it's a good deal.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
If allowed.
Do you want me to go over the density options one more time, or do you guys? I know you have a lot of thoughts that I want to hear.
Sure.
So in town centers, essentially, we want to allow more density.
Correct.
40 units per acre at a minimum. We would also like to look at allowing jurisdictions in California to implement the density bonus law, which comes with incentives for height and parking. And then looking at a pilot program, the last group had a lot of thoughts on how to implement the pilot program that would, you know, kind of give developers the flexibility to fit in as many units as are feasible, as long as sort of the overall look and feel of the development is not, you know, it's not a huge, like, warehouse building.
Yeah.
That's not what we want to
no.
see. And then outside of, right, and then outside of town centers, really focusing on the smaller scale multifamily that is not going to drastically change the character of our communities. 25 units per acre maybe seems kind of high, but actually when you apply that to like a 6,000 square foot parcel, it's like 2 units.
Yeah.
So any thoughts on, I guess,
I know.
Anything that you like or anything that you dislike?
Well, I mean, based on the things you were starting to talk about, pushing the height issue, I would allow whatever the residential density would do that would fit our height thing, because we're trying our best to maybe go up, consistent with what's the landscape.
Right.
It's the difference of a freestanding thing on the lakeward side. I get that would be a lot of opposition to that kind of view blockage, stuff like that. But when you're up against a hillside and you can just march up with a nice tall building,
right,
that, as Vince said, within the limitations of what you can really do without having to go to steel or concrete and stuff, that's
right,
going to make eliminate your
yeah
ability to build it.
Yeah.
I would, 40 to me is like fine. I wouldn't have a number right now that would stop me. If that's what they got to when you said in your group, they said build as much as you're allowable as a kind of a pilot, as kind of a pilot program, that's fine. I mean, maybe it takes a pilot, but I just would like to get on with it.
Get on with
right
it.
Yeah.
Make it permanent.
I mean, look at, we did Domus. It was probably a pilot, right? Or,
right,
or you know, I don't know.
Yeah, we've done a lot of things as pilots over
the
years.
Yeah, you know.
So I would say, you know, the...
I would say 40 for sure.
I think, so here's the problem with limiting things by density,
mm-hmm,
is, again, you've got to maximize what you can sell things for, which means then if you only have 40 units, then they have to be bigger. Because you've got to, what you get paid for is a certain amount of dollars per square foot that you're building.
Correct.
So I think we would rather have, you know, like 60 smaller units probably than 40 big luxury units. And so it really, having a density that is too low,
mm-hmm,
will mean that people are just building
bigger
units.
Right.
And that's what you have to build to be able to bid enough for the land so that you're the guy who gets
it. But what do we have now?
Well, I mean, this is an increase, I think. Oh, no,
yeah,
it's not. Is it?
Mm-hmm. No, it is. It's,
oh, okay.
We allow 25 units per acre.
So we've gone up 15 units.
Yeah, but...
And we couldn't even at 25, with all the other stuff we had, we built, what, three?
Six.
So we could put six in an acre.
Yeah.
Six units.
Yeah.
With a 15.
Yeah, it's 40 units per acre is not much. I mean,
no, but I guess I'm trying to figure out, how do we say it, Vince? Is if we're pushing the height,
yeah,
you know, we haven't even hit coverage yet, but if we're pushing the height and we're dealing with it, what should be the density? Or should we,
sort
of saying what they said in the other group, just let's see what a developer could do consistent with what we want to do as a pilot. But then again, how is it, who's going to gamble? Like you said, they need to know if you're going to invest in it.
I think you need to provide some guidance, but I'll give you some examples. Like in San Diego by the baseball stadium, we built a 7-story building. It was a full block, and it was, let's see, their blocks are, it was like an acre and a half, and we put 230 units there. Really nice ones, you know, range. There were some small ones, but they were mostly big. So that's like, you know, you can get a lot of people into a place. I wouldn't put that density here. You know, that was probably like 150 to the acre. I can't remember but that was in a mid-rise building. That was a steel concrete, so no one's going to do that here. So
right,
you lop off a couple floors, you're going to be, you know, some down. But I think 40 is, well, what is the density of the, those are hotel rooms, but what was the height and the density of, like, the Heavenly Village thing? Like, that's like, those are 6-story buildings or something?
I think they might be 5, maybe they're 6. I don't know the data. I don't know off
okay
the top of my head. But that's
just curious.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think what you want is that kind of scale downtown to make it have that villagey, dense, walkable
right
feel.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I go, do that, but put housing in it.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And
right,
the 40 comes from...
Mammoth has a way bigger density than us,
yeah,
and there's a comparable mountain town, but
yeah,
you know, you're in Mammoth, and you feel like you're in condos, but at least for me, when I'm down there, I don't feel like I'm I'm still in a mountain town, right? It's still
yeah.
right,
in
right.
I mean, North Star and Squaw.
Same,
you
same
know,
idea.
They're kind of the same, and those are actually only 4 stories, maybe even including retail.
Yeah,
yeah
so
I
they're not
so
that tall.
I think
well,
yeah, North Star.
The 40 units is a TAU density, right?
Yeah, so it's probably not more than that. I mean, that has that's mixed use, so it has
yeah.
retail on the bottom, but. Yeah, I mean, that's something that we could look at, definitely.
I would look at that density of North Star and,
mm-hmm.
and because
mm-hmm.
those are, I mean, even, they don't have year-round residents. I was going to say, even at that density, it doesn't really work for the retail, but I think it's because it's vacation rental instead
right.
of
mm-hmm.
real
that's
residents.
Right, yeah.
If you had real residents, I think it would work.
Right.
But, like, to me, that's kind of the scale that
right.
that you want to make the communities feel good.
Right.
And probably that people will need to redevelop.
So what's the state of California density bonus?
So you get, what do you get for 20% of, I can never remember the
numbers
because they're different.
It's kind of complicated. It depends on what percentage is going to be set aside for de-restricted. And
okay.
And at what level. So it's mm-hmm. kind of on a sliding scale. There's not like a one answer to that.
Yeah.
It depends, but
we do it on every project. Like
yeah.
we've done it since the beginning. Like when they first introduced it a long time ago, there was a variant of it, and
so we'd want that wouldn't we? In addition to whatever the density is, we want the.
Well, yeah, because we're talking about in addition to like workforcey housing, we're talking about deed-restricted, affordable, like really
right.
affordable housing.
Well, that's going to be
well.
Deed-restricted.
Yeah, yeah. So,
yeah.
So I'm saying that we like the density bonus option. Is
yes.
that
yeah.
fair?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then Vince, I know for the actual density, like what should be the density?
Well,
you know, we've sort of talked about doing an analysis with our consultants to look at what,
yeah,
like,
profitable.
At what point does it pencil out? Does it
yeah.
actually create a positive return?
Yeah,
yes.
That's
so
what I was going to say. Based
yeah.
on what you've said so far, it seems like
yeah.
there's going to be some sort of nexus between
yeah.
Affordability and like, ROI and the density that we could find.
Right.
Or
yeah,
find
right.
an approximation of,
right?
right? Like a range.
Examples have been shown, including 40 units per acre. Don't pencil out.
Right.
So no one's going to build.
So that's the thing.
So it has to be higher.
Because what those consultants looked at, even when they said, you know, they wrote the ARCH standards off, but even when they came up with the more standards, it was like 1.2%. That's not going to build us
yeah.
a project.
No,
it's got to be at least 10-12%, right?
You have to be 12-15%.
All right, 12-15. So whatever the density gets you to that 12-15%.
Yeah.
Right, that should
yeah.
be.
They,
that should be the
unless,
yeah.
unless we're going to get, as a result of density bonus and any other state subsidies that might come our way.
Great point.
And the other thing that could be built into this somewhere in this process, Alyssa, is what's the role of the state conservancy, like what we did at Sugar Pine, gives us the land.
Yeah.
At that point, then we have eliminated a big cost for the developers, the land costs,
yeah.
which are extreme here.
Right.
But that's probably only going to be, I would imagine, for an affordable housing developer.
But that's
so
what we want.
Profit. Yeah, no, I know, that's good. But then, like, those guys, we always hate them because they build these incredibly beautiful buildings that we could never afford to build because they design it and then they just get a subsidy that you know makes it make sense.
Right.
So for an affordable housing developer to do pure affordable housing, it'll need either someone giving it a ton of money or giving it the land, probably a little of both.
Right.
So it's kind of different math for them, and that's okay. It's like a affordable housing development is totally different math from for-profit. But, you know, if
so
CTC is going to get land,
we want
more units on it.
But Vince, aren't we talking about we are building workforce housing here?
But that's different from like what an affordable housing developer does. Is
right, some of it needs to be the achievable, right?
Yeah,
there
if we're
right.
talking about achievable.
There is some market rate in Sugar Pine. I
okay.
think it's,
yeah.
that's what Sue just said.
Didn't you say it was like 50?
Yeah, I think
yeah.
it's 50%
oh, okay.
market rate and then 25 affordable,
okay.
low
yeah.
income.
But it was built by a nonprofit
it's
developer.
It's built by an affordable housing developer.
Yeah.
I think they are for profit.
For-profit?
Yeah, they are for-profit.
Yeah.
They just have, yeah, they do.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, they're the same person that Bill Domus is now working
right.
for this.
The related market. Companies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But I think to Cindy's point that she made during the meeting was like that with people making $17, $18, $19 an hour, they're priced
yeah.
out of true affordable housing.
Yeah.
So the workforce housing problem is more of like an achievable cost, right?
Right
that
yeah.
we're looking to.
Right.
So we need the affordable for sure. There are people who can't afford like
that.
your anecdote at all, but then also just somewhere for the middle. You know,
right.
Middle.
So I'm hearing that we need
for just affordable. That's not the workforce. That's the you know.
Right. That's
really
affordable. So
that's
we need
but at
incentives for. For deed restrictions of at all income
all levels,
right.
yeah.
Well, all this increase should be for deed restricted, don't you think? Like
that's a great question.
Right.
Like I think
yeah.
anything
yes.
we give
mm-hmm.
extra over what we have now, we should say is for deed restricted.
We don't want this to go to market housing because
yeah.
we're creamed by
it'll all go to market.
So all of these, just to clarify, all of these should be just for deed restricted.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Deed restricted that they work in the area 30 hours a week. What that whole thing that you guys
right.
put together. Limiting the amount of short-term rentals to several weeks per unit, which you already have.
Is work in the area work from home for the Bay?
No.
Or is it? Okay.
No. It's
yeah.
work
okay.
30.
You
yeah.
actually have to work.
You have to work for an employer with a business license in the basin.
Okay.
Yeah. So
I guess that Haley, sorry. I mean, I can't do that.
Okay, any last thoughts? I think we've got a
like someone's gonna find that a very good deal.
Yeah.
yeah.
Boy,
yeah.
Your
right.
employer is it is in the basin because your employer is all of Nevada.
It's
I
all
don't
in the state.
Just
sorry, I gotta grab it. It's 100%
yeah.
all
in
the basin.
I think you have to look at this.
Right.
And that should be a driver and then
okay.
I would go above it. So,
yeah.
Because yeah, because it will fluctuate.
And this,
time.
I mean, would this be, at what density does it pencil out for just deed restricted or for a mix?
Well, you could decide that. My feeling is we don't have enough for everything we need right now. Like,
right.
you know, let, you know, rich people are going to buy crappy old houses and tear
right.
them down and build their dream house. That's going to happen no matter what we do.
Yeah.
Like, Let's. We need.
True.
This is an emergency right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Like I would say, figure it out for deed restricted. You know, and those numbers will be fairly easy to find because you know the average wages and the quintiles of people working
mm-hmm.
in the basin.
Yeah.
So
you wouldn't oppose. I mean, if we're trying to hit the 12 to 15% for someone to come in here and want to do this project, and so. With all the density and all the stuff we put into it, and there's some restraints and whatnot. And then we say, yeah, and then we can, the land costs will be reduced to get you to that 12 to 15%.
I mean, we could, like CTC could do that, but hopefully we can make it work. The goal is to make it work without any subsidies if we can.
But we need
for this.
Yeah.
And if we can't, then what we have to do is work with someone like CTC to land bank and give us subsidies or affordable housing bonds. But the problem is they usually only give money for the true affordable stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so
okay.
it's harder to.
Uh oh. Yeah. See, we need to really have the ability to go in there and just really take out some TAUs, convert them to residential. And then put in
yeah.
these equally dense
yeah.
Projects that would probably have more height.
Yeah, more mass.
Okay.
More
well,
height,
or
more
it just would be designed a lot better than just the
yeah.
traditional motel. So you are coverage.
Coverage.
This is the dog. this is the sacrosanct dog that it'd be really tough. But in town centers, we have to push it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so then we have to talk about how we engineer the water quality BMP issues.
Can we?
But I, you know, absolutely, we we have to really push the, John, the coverage issue and town centers, treat them so differently. I mean, they must have done that as we take, you got a piece of the corner of the Azul restaurant there at Heavenly, but they had to push that coverage at Heavenly. Right?
What is that coverage, just out of curiosity? Cause
they designed a stormwater system for Heavenly that will handle up to 95% coverage.
But
yeah,
they had a what are they built at? Just because it feels nice, it doesn't feel like over.
Well, they're not. I don't think they're 95%.
No, I was just curious.
I think they're more like 70.
Okay.
But, and they also had, after it was done, a fluid load reduction of 19 or 20% of the total.
Yeah.
I'm looking for the document.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, they had enough so that when we built the event center, they had room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
That's probably
okay.
95. I mean. I don't mean to be pitching these things, but if you go into any city, they're going to have curbs, gutters, and the thing you want to do is take it to green infrastructure, like retention ponds and all that. And just put it in a pipe and dump it in the lake.
But we take it out, right?
Not stormwater.
Oh, we don't?
Just wastewater.
But would we now?
Not necessarily. You could just take it to a wetlands or a detention or retention basin.
How much can it would take?
Well, there's a bunch of them around.
Yeah. Well, that's probably true if you go up.
Well, if you go like to the, where do you go to the North Powell Event Center where we're going to meet?
Yeah.
If you go to the east side of the parking lot, there's some big basins.
Right? Oh, huge, yeah.
So
they
put them in all over our side of the lake, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, unfortunately, like in some public beach areas, half the beach is now a big.
they just
did it everywhere. And we have to do this on all of our projects that we build now in Southern California where it never rains, which is crazy. But everyone's used, I mean, I think people are used to these engineered solutions. So.
Well, anyway, we have agreed in the prior things that this is limited to 100% deed restricted development. Yeah, we want this push for that development.
Yeah.
I can tell you it's not cheating, I don't think.
Well, and, you know, I think, so what happens a lot of times with the development is you'll get a for-profit developer and then a non-profit, and they go in together on a project to do a part market rate, part affordable, so it makes sense. I think we should say...
Well, even so,
because you wouldn't want to.
So you say the 100% deed restriction would ruin that because there'd be shared.
I think you'd say for a project with either maybe 100% deed restricted workforce or some percentage of affordable.
Well, I wrote down. The other two groups came up with the same thing, and here's what they said.
Okay.
If you're going to put in an area-wide treatment system, and there's some market rate housing there, you don't want to exclude it, because that's a better solution
system.
Than BMTs anyway.
Okay, good.
So
I was thinking on just one project basis, but that's the right thing.
In fact, one of the groups, the first group said, hey, if you're going to just go in and put a stormwater system, and that's better environmentally, you could have zero deed restricted units. It's a good thing for the lake. I mean, that's not what we're talking about. But that's where they're lying.
Yeah, but we're talking about trading that off for more coverage.
Yeah.
So it is is some negative. I mean, but yeah, we want anyone to do that.
Outside town center, we're saying coverage over base allowable. Yeah, okay. Limited to high capability lands, 4 to 7, so that's over SEZ. Require all additional runoff treated on site. Really?
Well, that's where the group I was just at said, if somebody outside of the town center wants to build a stormwater system,
let them do that too.
Right. No, that's what I'm saying, is that BMP required for all additional runoff treated on site, that's going to reduce your coverage.
Well, could, no, because you can do it in vaults. Like, you can do it under a driveway and stuff like that. It's
expensive.
Yeah,
but, you know,
but
here, it's going to be a problem.
Yeah. Is it?
I think.
I don't know that it would make any financial sense to do it that way, but...
Wouldn't that be pretty expensive?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be pretty expensive if you have... If we're pushing the... Considering we're pushing height and density,
yeah.
now we're saying for your coverage, you got to cover all that additional development on site, on your 1 acre site. You know,
yeah,
that's probably a pretty good size.
I mean, you have to do it if you're building a building. Like if you're building a building which can have 100% coverage in downtown, anywhere, you have to treat your stormwater.
But it's part of an overall system, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're attaching to an urban system.
These
are outside of the town centers. Would these all be part of?
Site.
Would these all be within a stormwater system?
Well, what I'm hearing you guys say, tell me if I got it wrong. Outside of town centers, it's okay to put in area wide, not just the MPs.
Right.
If you want to.
Yeah.
Right.
I think when they were, I know the map that was on the screen was for the South Lake Tahoe area, but I think they said it was just half a mile. So that's not really, like, that's outside, but it's not that far. It's
yeah.
So how much of that would be already part of an existing
or
system?
Not hard to hook into it.
So yeah, or not hard and expensive to hook into it, because we're not talking about
that far out
of town centers.
How really bad the city of South Lake Tahoe's system is, I don't know.
Yeah,
well, half a mile is far for me, because that's farther than most people will walk. Like,
quarter mile is where we put 375, and next
yeah.
to a quarter mile from a transit,
yeah.
or
yeah.
Right.
So it's
quarter mile would be better.
But
yeah,
we're hard here, folks. Here. We bike, you know, we do all sorts
of
stuff.
I'm so used to living far from
amenities.
Tire
bikes in the winter.
I live 2 miles from downtown now.
So again,
half a mile seems awesome.
Oh, sorry.
No, I was just going
to
say.
I think we need to look at the coverages, especially outside of town centers, that allow projects to pencil. So, you know, I don't know what the right amount of coverage is, but we have to look at what coverage is needed if we really want this to yield any.
Well, what are the local restrictions in addition to what we're trying to deal with? I mean,
mm-hmm.
what's the parking requirements?
We have to get rid of parking max minimums.
Yeah, but I mean, that'll be in.
Yeah.
When you get outside the town center, we're going to be hitting that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, if you're especially a quarter mile, yeah, from a transit area, you should have parking maximums.
One.
You want to add parking tied to this?
No. We just want to know what the limit is.
Is this the appropriate place?
I mean, you can say whatever you want.
You don't want to reduce parking?
I'd like to reduce parking. I just wonder, then what? How do we... What's the way you do that is you simply say, well, we're going to take advantage of what existing transit we have, which is not very good.
Or what you could say is... You can't reduce coverage using something else and then use it for parking. You can't
yeah.
use these tools to reduce coverage.
Oh, no. Yes.
And then,
yeah.
yeah. And I think in the town centers, we should get rid of parking minimums or make them a lot lower, because parking is what defines, if you have a big parking requirement, it's what defines how many units you can actually fit.
Yes.
So
I agree.
I mean, it just takes up so much space with drive aisles.
Because then there'll be a lot more push for better transit service.
Yeah. And we want it to be
Walk. Or you can
yeah.
You
yeah.
know, bike.
Like that site we looked at today for the 10 homes, I'm like, you are right next to a grocery store and other shops
mm-hmm.
and a million restaurants and a gondola to the ski lift
yeah.
and, you know, all these other businesses, like... You shouldn't have to have a car if you live there.
No.
But
yeah,
I mean, I think my only thought about it is, and this is probably my suburban lifestyle speaking, but what I worry about with, like, no parking requirements is that then you create a place where there are folks from all walks of life can afford to live. You know, a lot of people can't afford a car, but then they cannot get out. Like, they literally cannot get out of the basin. So in an emergency situation with a fire encroaching, if they don't have a vehicle because they're not incentivized to have one, and so it's cheaper to not have one, how do they get out of the basin in an emergency situation? You know, thinking about, like, a very different environment, but thinking about Hurricane Katrina, so many of the people who stayed in the Ninth Ward, even though it was water was up to their roof lines, was because they physically had no way to get out of the Ninth Ward.
Well, that's an interesting
So when you have people living in a bowl and you don't have super great transportation to get out of said bowl.
Yeah.
Like, I tried to do the no driving to work week, John, when I was here one day. And the only way I could do it was to drive to Carson City and then get on the blue. And it took like 2.5 hours to get here. I mean, it was like, it's not a, and then I had like, I missed the bus on the way home. And so then I had to like wait an hour for the next bus. And so, I mean, it's just not, and that's like, that's somebody living outside of the basin. And we're talking about people inside the basin. But you, if you don't have, the transportation needs to come at the same time, I feel like, as the...
That is an environmental concern. That would be something that we get hit on, because that's what did in Palisades and Martha's Valley in their lawsuits.
Well, what about, you know, I mean, one parking spot per unit is a ton better than two.
Yes, absolutely.
It's more than twice as much better.
Yeah.
So we could, you know, we could go down to that where every household could have a car.
Mm-hmm.
Potentially, but
even if that is still too much, like just some amount of just so that we're not building really big units with no parking at all, because then the kind of people who are able and willing to live in them might change, and then you don't want a situation like what Cindy described in Martha's Valley where there's units that are unoccupied because there's nobody who meets the qualifications.
Yeah, I mean, just reducing it really helps, especially in town centers. We want to get rid of cars because on day to day you've got so many alternatives now, and hopefully can walk. But yeah, in an emergency, that's a good point.
Yeah, we have a condo in Boston. If you want a parking space, you pay $100,000 for it.
Yeah,
or you have those
lifts.
Yeah.
Yeah, or you rent it. I mean, in a lot of places, they require you to decouple parking.
It is. That's what I'm
doing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you have to buy it separately.
We got a deal in the mail.
Yeah, you're crazy.
You know,
you're
condo,
you're crazy to go into San Francisco.
Yeah.
So you're looking for a park.
Yeah. Very expensive.
Well, I have a minute, 22 seconds.
Well, let's see.
So you're doing what, pencils outside, inside. I mean, what kind of coverage? To me, I look at a lot of the stuff that we want to redevelop, and it's super covered. So,
well, I think we support the coverage. We support the coverage thing on the outside town centers too.
Okay.
It's the base allowable for deed restricted only. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a problem with the high capability lands issue either.
Yeah.
I mean, if we, I support that. I'm a little nervous about the BMPs required on site, simply because if we do push density, then can we do that? It seems like that's an area that becomes an area wide fix.
That's for outside. I think I said outside town.
Yeah.
Okay, if you want to use.
And then I don't know what meets mitigation requirements.
Means if you have to transfer it in, you still have to.
Okay. Mm. All right.
And then in town centers,
is it Haley in this group?
I am.
She is.
Oh, man. Bells on me.
I know. Talking electricity.
Well, time's up.
What are we saying in town centers that we think it should be raised to? There's no kind of limits on these things. Appropriate concentration is. I mean, it doesn't say anything about what the limits are. You've got 70%, up to 70% is what it was showing
us. Well, basically, the stormwater infrastructure option is you don't use coverage.
Oh,
stormwater.
Okay, cool.
It's kind of like coverage works in the rural part of the basin, which is most of it.
Yeah.
And you do stormwater systems.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. I'm fine with that.
I see. That's great. So they can go way up as long as they
think anything.
No, I'm just reading. So far, so good.
Do we need more power? Is that the problem?
We got a lot of problems in power.
Not another gas leak, I hope.
No, not another gas leak.
Is power worse than TRPA? You've been both.
I don't know.
Jess is like, I'm not going to answer that.
I think just general government is worse than anything. Especially in a pandemic.
Yeah.
Everything's challenging.
Yeah.
So I didn't touch that.
We didn't touch it.
We didn't.
We were recorded.
Alyssa moved the mouse to wake the screen
recorded.
Up, but then she saw it was locked. And so.
We were recording.
Yeah, that's why I kept moving back away from the microphone.